What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the ultimate Reddit Q&A podcast showdown. We tackle Reddit's toughest dilemmas with the force of 6 tons and 1,500 horsepower. Get ready as we rev up our engines of wisdom while navigating the wild terrain of life's challenges. We'll show you our A's once you show us your Q's. We've got the answers that will launch you. Oh, God. We've got the answers that will launch your life into the stratosphere. So let's roar into the world of advice by unleashing the raw power of knowledge. Remember, your ticket price covers the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. This is Qualified Nonsense. I'm Brandon.
Oh, I'm Jake.
And I'm Matt.
And I'm excited.
Oh, and this is Qualified Nonsense.
Kids' seats are $10.
Did you guys ever go to any monster truck shows as a kid?
I did. No, I actually didn't. Like, despite how William Thomas my family is, I never did.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think I did either. I feel like
I remember going to one or two.
Oh, really? Were they in
like Gravedigger and Bigfoot and all those?
I think they're still going. Like, Gravedigger still has a following.
And I think like the Truckosaurus thing is still around. And
there's some weird ones. Like there's one that has like it has like this. You'd be into this, Brandon. It's called Zombie. It has like zombie arms hanging off the front, and so it'll do a jump or a flip, and it goes.
That's pretty funny.
It looks like one of those like things you get at Taco Time. Those little monsters, and you put on your fingers. Like there is a shark one too now, though. That might scare you too much.
Oh.
Scary.
But welcome back to another episode. Feel free to drop us a line at qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or connect with us on our socials. So how's everybody's week been?
Week's been good. I threw my back out last week. We were supposed to record last week and I was like, I'm hurt. And so that was unfun. I feel like a couple things happened right in a row that made me really feel
death
my age.
Stalks you at every turn.
This is exactly how I'm feeling right now.
I'll also have the viewers know that we're recording at 10:12 p.m. okay. Eastern Standard Time, and Jake is still in his work attire.
Yeah, well,
we need to work on some work-life balance, buddy.
Bro, I know. I know. Yes.
But also, I appreciate your professionalism. Thank you for showing up ready to go.
Yeah, I have some feedback for you, too. Especially Matt with your sweats and bulge. But, well, thank you. That's what I meant to say. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? 2 weeks ago, or I should just say recently, I went to Detroit to visit a friend who opened a brewery. And if anyone's in Troy or around Detroit, Troy, Michigan, check out Stumblebum Brewing. They have really good German style beers. Their recipes are super clean. Their setup is really nice.
Nice. And are they like focused on lagers?
I guess it must be lagers, but it's like they've got like a Kolsch and a German pils and a couple of like a oatmeal stout and a chocolate porter, and everything's just really good, but it's like all like really, really solid stuff. And they just opened.
I've heard Detroit has a lot of cool stuff going on now. Like it's kind of, you know, they're bouncing back.
I think Kid Rock and stuff. I think they put a lot of
RoboCop
effort into getting it back up and running nicely. So I spent a portion of the weekend there a couple weekends ago, and it's really nice. And it's you know, I know I'm old when I say this, but like it's pretty hip. Like there's a bunch of young people doing young people things, like art galleries and breweries and stuff like
that. I do
got
to say, I like their social media presence and their branding. Good job on the Stumblebum House wine and beers and everything. Follow Stumblebum Beer on Instagram, everybody.
Yeah, 100%. And if we ever end up getting guests on, my buddy Eli, who owns the place, he's been on a couple brewing, like local brewing podcasts, but he'd be a fun person to have on. And he used to be a voice actor. We met in the acting days.
Oh, nice.
And so
we could tell him, hey, Eli, send us some, you have to say this, and this is how what you have to declare when you go to the post office. Send us some live yeast samples, and we'll happily explore them on the show.
All right.
No, it looks good.
Yeah.
Good job, Eli.
Yeah. Good stuff. What about you guys?
I went to the beach and got my daughter a black eye while I was at the casino. So I feel like a really cool dad.
Did she I'm sure she saw the first daughter to get a black eye at the casino from her parents. God.
All right. So here's the thing. We went to the beach with two other families. So six kids, six parents. And it was the weekend that Matt realized he has the capacity to be overstimulated. And never again with that many kids or adults all at the same time. That was just a lot. But I had a moment where I got to go to the casino because nobody else was into it. So I went to the casino and I played a slot machine that I don't normally play. I normally go and play like table games or whatever. And I hit a bonus and then I hit another bonus and then a bonus within the bonus. Ultimately, I won $329 off of $100, which is pretty fun. But I pull out my phone and look and see that I have three missed calls from my wife. It's like, okay. It's like, there was no text, which was like 911, call me. So I call her back and she's like, hey, I'm on the way to the hospital with Rona. She tripped over a pillow and her face hit the banister in the house. I was like, oh, God.
Ouch.
And I called her and I was like, I am literally in the, I said, I'm in the middle of a bonus and I can't cash out. And she's like, okay, click. I was like, oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
But I was like, when you're in those things, like when you're on a slot, you can't just press cash out. Like, stop play. I'm done.
Sorry, I've got 12 more free plays. I can't.
That's exactly it. I was like, I can't do it. And she's like, you could have at least said, I'll cash out and just come that way. You didn't have to tell me I can't come because I'm on a bonus.
Yeah, you should have just lied. It's all right.
There
I'm
was a more
way.
Delicate way. Yeah, you're on my way, like, and then
he was like, "You want me to lie about this?" She's like,
"I'm on my way. I hit a lot of traffic. I'm sorry."
It was literally like I could have walked. I could have walked there in 10 minutes, but I elected to drive in 2. So I could have just left the car. That was my week. It was a good weekend overall. The kids absolutely loved the beach. Loki. You know, she got
hold on. I just lit a cigarette. I can't leave yet.
I just submitted my Keno cards.
Just banging one out. Give me a minute.
It's going to be at least another 45. No, the dog, you know, she loved the beach. There was another dog there that was a puppy.
Which beach did you go to?
Lincoln City.
Oh, nice.
And we stayed, which is pretty much right by that Safeway, the McMenamins area right there. We stayed right, you know, just 3 minutes down the road from there, which is a really cool area, but it was good. But of course, not without an emergency room trip that Kara had to deal with.
Well, I'm glad everybody's okay. And I'm sorry that you had to spend a little bit of time in the doghouse, but there was probably more tactful ways to go about that. I don't know that I totally disagree with the outcome.
Well, and my fucking winnings are going to go to the ER visit. I won three, like we're all skipping over the fact you won $329. Wow, awesome.
I know. Wow, awesome. Thank you for
that. No, went to super glue on her face.
Easy come, easy go.
Yep. Can't take it.
The casino gets you one way or another.
Yeah. You know, they're in with the big hospital, big medical.
Yeah,
it apparently is a nice hospital.
The tribal commission knocked her over.
Jesus. What about you, Brandon?
Anyway, how was your week?
Black eye?
Did you fight anybody?
My week was fine. No. My wife and mother-in-law were out of town for a long weekend, so I had the place to myself.
Did you risky business?
Yep. Yeah, I just showered myself in bourbon the whole weekend or whatever.
nice.
No, it was fine. I went to Trivia Saturday night and played by myself, came in third. I was half a point away from second. Well, I went.
Do you like flip everybody else off that lost and be like, I did this by myself? You can't even do this. You can't even do this with six people. I did this by myself.
Well, I went a few weeks ago by myself and I came in first. So I'm kind of glad I didn't come in first again, just because I don't want to be that guy
blacklisted.
But
be like, all right, he's using his phone. That's three times in a row.
This brainiac. We don't need him in here.
Stop. There was a picture round question where there's like 12 pictures and you have to identify them or whatever. And it was a Funko Pop based, which was kind of cool. It was just like a Funko Pop and you had to identify the character that it was.
They could just like hear you get an erection at the table. I know this one way too well.
How'd you do in the Funko Pop one? Did you know them all?
I didn't know one of them. So
did you get to find out which one you missed?
Yeah, it was a character from Game of Thrones, which I don't watch or haven't watched. So
oh right,
I wasn't,
because you don't like fantasy, right?
Not a big fan, really.
Yeah. No. So how many teams were there on average?
Like this one, there were, I think, 6 or 7 teams. There weren't as many as there are some weeks, but.
But the time you came in first, how many were there?
It was full. The place was pretty full.
Hell yeah. Be better, everybody else. You got beat by one man.
Well, no, I mean, just any man. I think a lot of Brandon it has to do Bernhardt. With just the categories and things. Like, there were some questions about just stuff I'm not as familiar with. Like, more recent pop culture stuff I'm not as good with. Like, there was a question about Ready Player One that I didn't know. And, or even like there's a music round where you have to identify the musician or the artist who does the song. And I'm not as good at that, especially like newer music. I have no idea. So
did you, when you came in first and you were the only one, did you like Degeneration X everybody on the way out? Just like, bish, bish. I totally would.
No.
I'd feel so accomplished. No. Be like, I don't even need a raise. I'm usually like, I'm gonna go back and tell my boss to take away money. I beat all of you.
I'm usually very humble about it, but
you don't want to get your tire slashed in the parking lot.
Yeah,
I just
don't really know the establishments that he's going into. It's like a bunch of like a biker bar.
It's like Hell's Angels, and be like
Hell's Angels, but trivia night, and he's like
just a beer bar, and I can walk there, which is nice.
So you can get drunk and beat them. Not only that, but you could be impaired and still kick their ass.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
So that's
Smarty that. Pants.
What are the prizes? Is it like
just like gift cards to the bar?
You're gonna keep winning and drink them out of an establishment. They're gonna keep giving away.
I hope you got your beer order in.
They're gonna start just giving away handshakes.
I mean, one of the reasons why people give away gift cards is because they legitimately hope you don't use them. Right, it's just money given away, and they're like, sure.
So, or also, isn't the mentality that you have a gift card and you're like, oh, I've got a gift card, I can like be indulgent, and then you spend more than the gift card anyway, so you end up
if you're planning to spend it, you generally overspend. But the hope is like, oh, hey, we're gonna give Jake a $50, gift card to, Taps Beer Reserve over here, and it's like, guess what? He lives in North Carolina. So like I just gave them 50 bucks and they hope they never have to redeem it.
Of course.
That's kind of how I feel about like going to trivia like on vacation. It's like if I win a gift card, I'm never going to use it. Like,
right.
I'm going to spend it all that night. Rounds on me. The bartender's like, damn.
The place I do go to, they let me use it that night. But the some places they don't let you use it that night. Like you have to
come back at a separate visit. That's nice that they did that. That's an upstanding move. Good job, whoever that is, because that's kind of a douche move to be like, sorry, it's on a separate transaction.
No, I'm friendly with the owners of the place. But
well, should we take a break and get into some the deepest, darkest holes of Reddit?
Sure, I want to get into those deep and dark ones.
Ugh.
All right, we'll be back.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And Now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Feel free, drop us a line. Qualified comments already said that. Whatever.
Blah, blah, blah.
So, first question here comes from the subreddit r/askreddit. From the user Tranquil Snail Garden.
Fucking nerd. I love handles. I love where people like generate this. I got it. Tranquil Snail Garden. Yeah, roll with it.
It just speaks to me.
So Tranquil Snail Garden asks, what screams I'm bad with money?
Having fucking snail gardens. All that money could have gone into your 401k, but nope, needed that snail garden.
I know this is kind of a broad question, and there's a lot of different ways, and I don't really like want to be mean about it, but
that is a question where it's like pass judgment. The question is saying like what tells you that you can pass judgment on me. I'm gonna say people that travel to like Vegas over and over again tells me you're bad with money. People that like post products that they're buying all the time tells me you're bad with money.
Why so?
Just because I feel like I know some of these individuals, and I know for a fact they're bad with money. But the people that are like, you know, they're working their job. They're not struggling by any means, but it's like one of those, do you need to have that just for the sake of argument? Like, do you need to have a coffee frother that's like $50? No, you don't need to have one of those, but you want one. You can have it. I don't know. Just like little things like that tells me that people are bad with money.
What about like going to Vegas all the time? Why is it just like just going on vacation all the time, or is Vegas specifically?
I think it's Vegas specifically because that's a place where you typically go to say, I have disposable income and I'm happy to give it away. So if you go like once every 5 years, cool, whatever. But like if you're that person that goes twice a year, three times a year, which I do know those people, and I don't know if they're bad with money or not, but I was just like, you could go anywhere else. Like,
yeah,
why?
It's kind of like a version of a red flag, kind of.
I mean, I guess like gambling a lot is a sign that someone's bad with money.
But I think it's also like the fact that you could go for shows, you could go for nightlife, you could go for food, you could go for a lot of different reasons.
but all people that consist a lot,
it costs a lot of money, and people that do that same thing over and over again, it's like you could go for entertainment anywhere else in the world, you could go for food anywhere else in the world, you know, it's like but if you consistently go to that one particular place, that just kind of tells me I don't know.
I kind of feel the same way about like people who go to Disneyland all the time. Like it's very expensive, especially as like taking your family. Like it's a very expensive place to go, and like there are like other places in the world that are a lot of fun that don't cost as much. But I mean, but then, you know, again, if people have the money or whatever, then fine if that's what they like. But I don't know.
This is a little tangential, but we went to the state fair last weekend in North Carolina, and they have a big one, and it was very crowded. And afterwards, Ann and I were like, okay, well, that answers our question about if we want to go to any of the Disney parks. The answer is no, because it's not, at least at this age, like it's not worth, for us anyway, the amount of money and the time and the energy it takes to do something like that, where you stand in line and where there's like a ton of people and stuff that, but like mainly the money thing, like it's so expensive. And for our income, it's prohibitively expensive.
There was some study done that said, I forget the percentage. It was under 50, but incredibly high of Americans that actually willingly go into debt for Disney vacations. And they just like are happy to accept it. Like, I will put this on credit, or I will borrow to make this happen. It was kind of a staggering number. I want to say it was in the upper 30s.
It indicates the power of nostalgia, right? Like people obviously, like, yeah, they go into financially life altering, but also just like life altering decisions in order to make that sort of to scratch that nostalgic itch.
When I think a lot of the reason why like people do go to Disneyland or Las Vegas is a lot is, you know, maybe it's just familiarity and it's kind of predictable. And that maybe there are people who are uncomfortable with having experiences that like Disneyland and Vegas are like, I mean, Vegas maybe less so, but like you can still have like a pretty controlled experience in Vegas and Disneyland. And I think
I would also argue
some people comfort.
I guess I would argue that they're also a form of escapism. Right. Mm-hmm. So you're going to these locations where you don't necessarily have to deal with life right now, and you can just kind of YOLO, if you will, or be in the moment, or, you know, like you said, nostalgia. And people don't think about what it costs. And then they come home, they're like, oh God, you know, I have to pay all these bills. But they, like, I guarantee you, they'll be back there either next year or within that same year.
Yeah. It especially pains me to hear about people who make those decisions at the expense of their financial well-being, because I think that, I think about the kid, right? Because if they have kids, I'm like, come on, like,
whatever, fuck them kids. I'm getting a turkey leg.
Well, no, you got to get a turkey leg. Notwithstanding. No, but it's just so short-sighted. And the thing is, like, it's so commonplace and promoted, you know. And I guess that's the whole point of like capitalistic sort of advertising and like the bombardment of you know, both nostalgia and also like how much fun it is. And then there's like social pressures to go, like if all the other kids at school are going. So like, it's more than just like a singular bad decision, but the implications are just like people not setting themselves up for long-term success.
I don't care that your friend went to Disneyland. We have Oaks Park right there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I do think you can.
Enchanted Forest is a very close second.
I think you can realistically have, do more like staycation-y kind of things and have just as much fun. More, I mean, with kids, I guess it's different, but as an adult, if, what are you going to do in Las Vegas? You're going to drink and you're going to gamble and you're going to eat a lot. Like, there's a number of casinos nearby where you could do a lot of that stuff a lot cheaper and, you know, have kind of a similar experience.
I know I was just relatively critical of him, but I am one that does like going to Vegas, and I live literally 4 minutes from a casino now, but I think there's some weird built-in thing where I've only been to that casino that I live next to like a handful of times, and it's been open 5 years. But like, I think I've been to Vegas more, and I don't know, some form of just being away, not necessarily, because I mean, if you have to go to the parking lot of the casino that you live next to, realizing on that long walk back to your car that you just spent $800 that you shouldn't have spent or didn't have. And then you have to drive your ass home to the apartment that you wish you didn't live in. It's like, I could see why a lot of people wouldn't.
I could have spent that money on a plane ticket somewhere. And
It's too close to home to be able to have it be proper. I mean, I think, I forget, one of you said it, but the escapism element of it, because there's, you know, hundreds of movies and books based on experiences in these places like Las Vegas, or like even as far as like fantastical as like Sin City, that series, like it's sort of like, I don't know, like yeah, like fantastic and magical in a way that you can sort of escape and be someone else. And I don't think that's Like, I think that I think everybody to some degree desires that, but yeah,
I think you could also argue like
huge
as exciting and as glamorous as it is. It also is a very sad city, Las Vegas, I guess. I mean, even wow. Disneyland. So it's like you could go there and be like, well, at least my life isn't as bad as the guy, like the guy dressed up as Minnie Mouse trying to get pictures, smoking a cigarette with his head off right now, you know?
I mean, also just like existentially, it's a depressing city. Like it's this city in the middle of the desert that shouldn't be there and has like finite access to water. And there's all this excess and things going on there. And it's like, I don't know if this is going to be here for much longer.
And they still seem to get like the finest of seafoods and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, and notwithstanding the fact that the whole point is to drain people of their bank accounts. Like that's their only desire, is to make people to addict people enough to come back and have a good enough time. But those casinos are making a fuck ton of money.
As right? an individual who likes the mob movies, I think that's pretty fucking badass. I like that. I like it a lot. I think it's so cool that people still do it. You know, it's the free will kind of a thing. And I do think it's sad, but I was like, man, these people know, like, you know, flying in, they're just going to take from you and you still come back.
All right. I mean, that should be like, I'm sure it's investigated, not investigated like a criminal thing, but investigated like,
there's metrics on everything.
Well, that's what I mean. I think like, it's just the, you know, people gamble because, you know, there's the like, what if, like, even if,
yeah.
Even if,
what if I hit that one number?
Yeah, like, and your people are willing to pay for that, and you know some people are willing to pay a lot more than others. But I don't know.
What are some examples in this thread, Brandon?
So impulse spending, and then complaining about being broke all the time. Like somebody said, like quote, "I'm so broke, I'm losing sleep." And then check out this new tattoo / custom lingerie / vacation / designer junk I got.
Yeah, I do. I always wonder about big tattoos because I know that they're expensive.
They're expensive.
Time consuming. And I've seen some really, you know, really beautiful ones that you're like, you definitely paid a ton for that. And there are certain people that I've seen with them that I'm like,
could have got a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Well, something I thought about is a way to tell if someone is bad with money is when they defer maintenance on the expensive things that they have. Like if they have like a luxury car, for example, but you know, like you see like the check engine light on, or like it needs an oil change or whatever, or they have maybe a really nice house, true. But then like the paint is peeling on it, or like the like things are falling apart on the house. You know, something like that, or like I guess just delaying responsibilities that they have in favor of like doing like fun things. Like if somebody is like, oh yeah, I've had this toothache for the last 6 months, but you know, I need the money to, because we're going to Vegas next week or whatever, or you know,
yeah,
stuff like that,
because I'll just drink there and it won't hurt.
Yeah, it'll go away.
Yeah, the like the prioritization of responsibilities for sure.
My knee-jerk reaction to seeing souped up cars on the road, I'm like, and I know that's a hobby, right? Like I think that's, and I think it's great. In fact, a lot of the things that I know that I have biases against with regard to me being like, you definitely could have spent that money somewhere else, but like I know so much, but like, you know,
I will say, because one of the things that I was going to say is people with vehicles, I would say especially people under 40, like people with vehicles, that the value of the car outweighs the net worth, like the net of their living arrangement. Like I was like, I think your priorities might be a little flip-flop.
Sure.
You're just taking that to work and probably doing
like when you see like a $95,000 Hummer at like shitbox apartment complex or whatever.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. And I was just like, well, I'll wait for to see the repo truck come here in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, I mean, I spend my money on plenty of stupid shit, so I don't, who am I to judge?
yeah, but you're not in danger. Like, you own your home, you have a career, you know? And I think there's also that to be said. You, I mean, you take everybody's money as a trivia shark.
So, yeah. You know. You're basically the mob in Eugene.
And you got side hustles. It's not like you're just spending and spending and spending with no income coming in, you know?
That's true. Yeah. Like somebody on here said that they knew somebody who had their Nissan Sentra like totally wrapped using, and they were unemployed using tax return money.
I mean, that's going to help you get a better job for sure. Also, have you
I
seen
can't find stuff? It now, but I did see that in the comments.
There's like not, I don't want to say subreddits, but there's like profiles dedicated just to Nissan Altima drivers. Apparently they're like notorious assholes, but they're really hilarious.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought this was kind of an interesting area for discussion. I guess another thing, like spending a lot of money on just like clothing and things that like outwardly make you look like you're really successful, I think is a way to say that you're bad with money.
I know like a couple of those people.
If you're wearing a lot of like Gucci and like Louis Vuitton, you know, like all that kind of stuff. And
I also would put in there, like if they're wearing, for example, like a new pair of shoes every other day and you kind of know who they are and it's like, I think you're overextending yourself here. Like, yeah, the like forcing the appearance for the value.
And it's like when you. Yeah, you see people dress like that versus like how like actual billionaires dress wearing like a t-shirt and jeans or whatever.
Yep.
Like it's you're not really fooling anybody.
100%. If you put yourself out there like that, you're trying to fool somebody and the majority of them aren't going to be fooled.
That reminds me, did you guys see that Netflix show Inventing Anna about Anna Sorokin? Mm-mm. That
no,
basically it's this New York young woman who was in New York.
Oh, the like socialite. Health food store?
No, not the health food store. That she's like a socialite, and basically she like because she walked the walk, everyone thought she could talk the talk. I don't know if that's the right phrasing, but basically she like defrauded a bunch of people because she was basically like she came up out of nowhere saying like. She's all that and people just like she essentially like talked her way into getting these like fancy clothes, fancy apartment, fancy all this stuff. It's actually a good show. It's
unfortunately
like
that is a situation of like you can't hate the player.
Well, that's
right,
that
like you're claiming like, that you're defrauded, like you willingly gave
right all she did was yeah. she was like there was who I am and they're like, oh please, thank you so much for showing up, please absolutely take an apartment in our complex.
Like there was a group of hackers, I think it was like three or four people, one of them got caught, but they and I don't understand what it was illegally done, but they were sending invoices to Google and Microsoft and for like services rendered or maintenance or whatever, and they were paying them. So they paid them like $10 million over the course of 5 years. And they finally came to find out, oh, these guys never did work for us. But I was like, I'm sorry, like I could send invoices to anybody I want. You guys are dumb enough to pay it.
I saw that.
They paid it.
Yeah, I mean.
They should have done some
due diligence. I guess I could see it being fraud because he was saying it was for things
work that he didn't
like
do
services he didn't perform.
Yeah. But
anyway. Yeah. No,
I do recommend the show though, because it is kind of fun. The woman who plays Anna in it is pretty entertaining. And she, but yeah, the whole idea of it and watching it unfold is pretty entertaining. It's a good show.
Nice. Good question, Brandon.
Good question, Brandon. All right. Jake, so I've got one.
Yeah.
That I don't have a specific one that I'm going off of. I saw a handful of them and it got me thinking about catcalling. And I think we talked about this in season one. of our podcast, but just like, how
here, kitty kitty kitty,
like that. Yeah, that kind of
hey boy, what that pee pee do?
Yeah, both of those. No, so I was looking at I was looking at Reddit because I was thinking about how like if I'm catcalled, which has happened like all of two times in my life.
It's happened two times to you?
Yeah. Once was in Mexico. Twice, both the times were in Mexico. And I was like, thank you, ladies. No, but it was like a flattering moment, and I recognize that that's not the case when it's done to the vast majority of women. And I was sort of interested in your guys's take on if you've ever been catcalled, or if you have ever, like we've all catcalled each other, I think, in cars to each other, but like, have you ever been authentically catcalled, and how did that make you feel? Is like part one of my question. And then part two, I just wanted to talk about this particular post that I saw about,
I just wanted about chit chat,
getting like people getting catcalled and basically the response to it. So, part one, have you guys ever been catcalled?
I don't think so.
I've been yelled at by cars driving by, but it wasn't catcalling.
How did that make you feel, Brandon?
Actually, one time somebody said, I like your hat, but
not like, you look like a...
Well, no, there was one time I was riding my bike, and somebody, they were like, pussy, and then they came to a stoplight, and so I rode my bike up next to their car, and I was like, what did you say? And the guy was, it was a girlfriend or wife or whatever she was driving, and she seemed like super embarrassed, and he was like, nothing, and I was like, no, what did you say? And he was like, nothing, and he like rolled up his window, and like then the light changed, and they
you rolled up and he saw you, and he's like, oh god. Like, I can't just blow through this red light.
The girlfriend right looked like mortified, but it was
were you riding a long distance? Like, I'm trying to picture that situation of like,
you should
sweaty Brandon on a bike being like, what did you say?
You should feel so good though, like, you know, they got back to his apartment of her car that she was driving him around in, and she just broke up with him.
No, they well, like passed that intersection, she's like, what the fuck is the matter with you?
Get out of my car. His Brandon, you know, rides up on his bike.
I know, like, we've been like shithead teenagers and like yelled stuff at people out of the car, and you know, you don't really think about it because they don't ever, you know, they don't have a chance to respond or anything, and so, you know, when they do, it's like, oh shit, now what? Like,
I mean, that
I gotta say, I've never been catcalled.
But anyway,
I've never been catcalled, but we did do some funny shit back in the day, like in cars. And I will say, like, as a 39-year-old man now, I would be absolutely pissed, and I'd probably do everything in my power to find us. But there was a time. There was a time where
that means you've like, grown emotionally, or you've declined emotionally.
Well, it was raining especially hard.
I would kill my younger self.
And we would drive by people waiting for the bus. So we would drive by people waiting for the bus in like clogged drains, and spray them as best we could with water. Objectively, that's funny. If that were me, I would kill somebody.
I have back when I wasn't driving, I did have that happen to me, and it does suck a lot.
Yeah,
like, people are assholes. There's something I learned is that people are assholes to pedestrians and people on bikes, like drivers.
Some of the bike people, like, they deserve it. Some of the bike people are assholes.
You know, you say that, but do you think that's sort of the chicken and the egg sort of thing? Do you think that the bikers first came out and they were like, I'm going to be dickheads to all these cars?
Well, I do think there's a certain sense of
being aggressive because people aren't paying attention.
That's true. That's the same with motorcycles. They have to be a little more on the aggro side.
I do love seeing those videos of motorcyclists where like a car cuts them off and then they drive up alongside with their like their metal knuckles and their gloves and they just like bang off the mirrors.
Yeah.
That's really satisfying.
Yeah.
Did you see, this is a side tangent, but have you seen those videos of the people trying to commit insurance fraud in Queens?
Yeah.
New York. And like they stop, like come to a dead stop, they, like right in the fast lane, trying to get them to hit them and then like back into the car. But back did you see today
they pull that, forward.
That somebody found their car and smashed out their windows?
Oh, jeez.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway. So
I've never been catcalled. I would really like to be one day.
Long story longer. No.
Well, I mean, so that's the interesting thing. And I think
I would be flattered.
Right. And so that was my that has been my thought on the subject for a long time. And I, being a more mature person now than I was when I initially thought about it in my youth, being like, oh, man, it would be great to be catcalled. Obviously, it's about power. Right. And so like when men catcall women, it's less about, you know, they're not trying to get a positive like interaction from that person. It's more about asserting power. Have you seen that? Do you guys remember, it was probably like 5 or 10 years ago, that the people that put cameras on like a body cam on someone who followed a woman around New York who gets catcalled and she talks back to the people, and how quickly the people back off once they engage in the conversation just any further than like a hey babe. Did you guys see that at all? You remember?
I've seen things along that line, maybe not necessarily that one, but
yeah, it was interesting. It was sort of an interesting sociological look, but
I guess we should probably define like a cat call.
Yeah, I was
because if somebody was like, you mean like hey hot, like if somebody drove by me and was like hey hottie, I don't think that's necessarily like power thing. I don't view that as power. And if I was to drive by somebody and be like, hey beautiful, I don't think that's power. It's like, I think it's just having the confidence to say it. I wish women had the confidence to be like, hey,
catcalling, like just like yelling something out. Or do you mean like if
yeah, I'm
somebody like like,
well, I'm referring to, well, because frankly any sort of unwanted interaction would be, that's usually
like if somebody like came up to you and said, hey, you have a really nice smile, like is that considered catcalling?
Like if Jake, or? Yeah, if you were like, if you, under that point, under I'm that sure. definition, Jake, if you were in a bad mood that day and somebody walked up to you and that was unwanted at the time just because you were in a bad mood, like, that would be catcalling. It's like, that's not a bad thing to say.
Like, I guess hey, it depends really on how it says, like, nice smile. Like,
well, but even that, the no. I do wonder about the social power structure between people. You know, yeah, you're talking about confidence as far as like an individual's confidence, but I wonder if it's broader than that, or like the scope is broader than that for like being able to say that without having any sort of negative repercussions. Okay, so basically, like if you say nice smile to someone, do you think that then the reaction of that person can be acceptable in any form? Like if they, let's say they are in a bad mood and they say go fuck yourself, is that like,
say I'm sorry, say I'm sorry, I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah,
like is catcalling like, I've complimented people and women on the street.
That seems like if, that's your worst nightmare, Brandon. Like approaching strangers and talking to them.
Well, I mean, sometimes I'm in a nicer mood than others, but going up to somebody and saying, hey, I really like your shirt or whatever. Like, is that, would that be considered catcalling, or like paying somebody a compliment, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's different. I think a catcall as defined by Mr. and Mrs. Internet's Oxford language something or other on the web, make a whistle, shout, or comment of a sexual nature to a woman passing by is the is one of the definitions.
Is there an opposite to that? I'm just curious, like, is there the equivalent to men?
Well, this indicates woman, but I would imagine it has to do. I mean, we're
narrowing the scope to like, hey, nice ass or whatever.
If you think about it in like a work situation, you can say that's a nice shirt to someone, and that's
not fair. You can't be like yelling at somebody sexually and then like to work.
No, I wasn't like, finished. I'm saying no. I'm saying I
capital
think
of it knockers, in the same madam.
No, thanks, I'm manager.
Saying, I'm saying like that's a nice shirt versus like that shirt looks good on you. The subtle distinction between those two comments, one's above board, one's below, or at least on an HR level. And
I do like on you. Not on you, but maybe somebody else that shirt would look good.
Well, now that's something else. That shirt would look great on literally
anyone. All right, so we're just saying like if you drive, walk, or pass by a woman or somebody of the opposite sex or somebody that you find attractive. Mm-hmm. God, this is getting harder these days. Anybody that you jive with and you just yell or whistle.
Yeah. Basically
you dirty
make
a bitch.
Yeah, I think it's just
if somebody walked by me and said that, now we're talking three genders here that doesn't happen to. It just doesn't. But if somebody walked by me and said, hey, you know, nice ass, even though I don't have one, you know, even whatever.
Sure. Hypothetically, if you had an ass.
Yeah. I'd be like, thanks. You're like,
are you being sarcastic?
Either way, right. Like, I think I can approach it with a thanks.
Well, and so that's I think that's the, and I wonder how much, you know, why I kind of brought it up and wanted to talk about it, because I think that would be my reaction, and I'd probably be tickled by it for the rest of the day, if not the rest of the week. I'd be like dee, 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 dee. But like that's not the case for like most people who get catcalled, which are women.
You talk about this, Jake. I found a question that I almost picked for tonight that was, would you want to live as your opposite gender? Why or why not? And I was thinking about it. And I was like, no, I would not want to be a woman.
Well, I guess parameters. do you just want to live as a woman?
I mean, that's a really interesting, like, how did you come to that conclusion quickly and why?
Yeah, I came to
it. We can actually transition to that because my question is a little bit sort of.
It's me.
Well, I was thinking, like, I do enjoy a lot of advantages, like, not just like
financially,
you know, like unseen sort of advantages, like whatever, higher pay and all like those sort of like societal kind of things, but more like, or systematic things, not societal, but like systematic kind of things, like putting that aside, like I'm a big guy and like I get to like walk around at night like without having to worry for my safety, or
I think like, about I don't that a lot.
Like I can kind of do things more comfortably than, you know, alone, that, you know, maybe a woman
would. I mean, I would even get down to the biological aspect where like there are some aspects where it would suck to be a woman. You know, childbirth, period, like menstrual cycles
a lot
of different things, like breast cancer, and you know, like keeping track of that, and your ovarian cancer, and like, I don't know, there's just a lot of like, I think biological things that would be even more challenging as
being on the rag.
Jesus Christ.
That's not what I said.
On a societal, Anna and I talk about this a lot, on a societal level,
so Rob Schneider had it right.
The acceptability of like, or the inacceptability of like makeup, like basic like getting ready for the day stuff. Anna has like a shit ton more to do just to be like, quote unquote, sort of like presentable in a professional setting, versus me.
Presentable, especially, to you or?
No. Yeah. I'm like, you need to do some more work. No. But like,
get back in there.
If you think this is acceptable, got another thing coming. No, but like, I mean, honestly, even with like losing hair only means I have more time in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like we can be bald and it's fine. We can grow hair in places where women can't. We can, you know.
I will also say there's
and not
there's
that like, they can't. There's a lot of places that grow hair.
Oh
that
God, hey, who are you?
That's
all we have to do is bleach our teeth.
Or what is the matter with you?
I will also, say
it must be a nice way up there. I have to bleach my asshole.
I never said anything about assholes. I will say there's aspects that I guess I would find probably fun. Like we're all theater kids, like the ability to do your nails all fun and wear accessories and I don't know, like earrings and makeup and, you know, I think there are aspects that could be fun, but yeah, I can also understand the disadvantages.
There's nothing stopping you.
Okay. We're not going down that part tonight.
I bet you won't.
Let's all paint our nails for the next.
I mean, don't like, paint my toenails. I've seen like a lot of like girl dads with like painted nails and stuff. And like,
I can't do, I just can't do fingernails, but they do my toenails. They have, and it's fun.
I've done my toenails before. That's fun.
I've seen how my youngest child gets a makeover every Saturday morning by my oldest child, and she comes downstairs looking like Tammy Faye Baker.
Nice. That's awesome.
So I'm going to skip that whole part for just a minute.
My youngest, Ren, he told me that, just a few days ago, I was like, oh, man, because his nails grow like crazy. I'm like, man, your nails grow so fast. I got to cut them again. And he's like, I don't want to cut them. And I was like, oh, why? I was like, I know it's boring. And he's like, no, I like them long. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, what do you like about them? He's like, I like the way they look. And I was like, all right, cool. And then he started, I forget how he brought it up, but we were talking about nails and he wanted to paint them. And I was like, oh, well, like, that sounds cool. What do you have a color that you want to paint? And he's like, I want to paint them rainbows. And I was like, that's fucking rad. Do you want to do like each nail a different color or like each nail is a rainbow? And he's like, each nail is a rainbow. Man, I'm like, you're on your own, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing that shit. But
at least he didn't say like, I like how your skin feels being scratched on my nails or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I like, sweet. I like, well, you got a serial killer on your hands.
You should tell him in China, like a extra long pinky nail is like a sign of like wealth and status. So he should grow like his pinky nail out. Yeah.
That's also called a Coke nail.
I know it as a Coke nail. Yeah.
But like in China, that's unless I'm being like racist here, but I'm pretty sure that's that's a thing.
I don't know. Some lore tells me that.
I'm not sure if this is racist, but
all right, so is the consensus here, is the consensus between three guys that we wouldn't necessarily mind being catcalled?
Well, so we wouldn't mind being catcalled. I
guess it was that the question? Is that we
kind of. It was about have you ever been and how did it make you feel? But if you were to be catcalled, I don't know. I wouldn't mind, but I think that there's so much socio influence into me feeling that way. Like actually exactly what Brandon said. Like every time I'm outside walking by myself, I oftentimes have headphones in and they are both in my ears and they are turned up and I don't give a shit what's happening behind me. Like if I see a movement behind me, like I check on it and stuff, but like I don't care. And that is just not the way half of the population can move through the world. Like full stop. That's not recommended. So it's just interesting, an interesting subject, and the thing that I was sort of basing this off of was r/feminism. It was a title called Fat Girls Don't Get Catcalled, and it was about this woman who had a sister who got catcalled and how she was impacted by her sister being catcalled because of association and being concerned about her and whatever. And then the interesting response, like the most upvoted response, was the you know, I'm so sorry this happened to your sister, but I don't think catcalling has to do with looks. It's about creepy man getting a kick out of making a random woman uncomfortable. And then it goes on to sort of further specify why they think catcalling is a thing, generally speaking. But I think the dominant sort of theory or explanation for catcalling is not about paying authentic compliments. It's about asserting some level of dominance in a given situation. And so I think that's interesting. And I know that I experienced that or have imagined experiencing that differently, being on the receiving end, but that's because I, you know, I'm,
this could
identify
be,
as male.
This could be totally off base. But I kind of view catcalling from the male perspective as, almost like down to like just the primal aspect of it's an individual that feels attracted to the other thing and they want it to be known. So it's kind of, I almost view them as like an elk walking out of a wood or a meadow during mating season. It's like, you know, I kind of view it the same way of like, hey, this guy just drove by you and he sees you really attractive and he kind of wants to, like, he has those feelings towards you. I kind of view them the same way. Granted, we're a bit more sophisticated creatures than elks and can probably not do it in that way. But I guess that's kind of how I understand it to be. It's just a very like.
So you're thinking that it has more to do with like impulse control?
I don't know that I'd say impulse control. I would just say like down to a creature thing. Right, like another guy is attracted to a female, or you know, another guy is attracted to another guy, or anybody. Like you're just attracted to that individual, and you feel something towards it. And you're like, oh, I want to mate with you.
I see what you're saying. Like it sort of like digs into something more. I see.
Like even more like just bit like simple human ooga booga level.
Yeah,
you know, like again, an elk is like, who wants to take my seed? Who's gonna take my seed? You know, and it's like,
yeah,
that guy just drove by that woman and he was like, oh, yeah. So I guess that's kind of where I meet it at. I don't take it like super seriously.
Yeah.
But I would if somebody drove by me and they catcalled me, I would take it super seriously. And I would find you.
You'd be like, wait, catcalls and like, bing. Like,
yeah, I'd find you at like 11 o'clock at night and I'd be like, but were you serious? Hey. Did you am I really cute?
Oh, I didn't see you there. You must have been hiding.
Good question. Yeah. Good question. I can only Matthew? Hope that somebody would catcall. All right. Well, we're gonna go from
I feel like this is a theme. Like I do something like, hey guys, something uncomfortable, and then you're like, hey man, just pass that doobie.
Kind of. We're gonna go back to shower thoughts for a minute.
This
subreddit's it's from subreddit called Shower Thoughts, and this guy's name or this person's name is B-Dayn, B-Dayn. So here it is. Everyone knows what everyone knows what soups and sauces are, but no one knows the exact point where a sauce becomes a soup and vice versa.
Huh.
Here, let me.
This is
let
not me... related to your question, but I only recently, it's because I'm not well read, but I only recently found out that there was a difference between sauce and soused. Like if you're getting, because I thought the phrase was just that people got sauced,
like drunk.
Yeah, but it's soused, and I was like, when I first heard that, I was like, what the shit? And then they're like, no, that's how you say it. And I was like, oh man, aren't I a dummy? Anyway, back to your actual question.
So here's some. Let's see. Temporary thing 7517 says the fact that you can have a small bowl of soup, yet no one, ellipses, in their right mind, eats a small bowl of sauce as their meal, ellipses, as much as we would want to.
Huh.
I guess then, like, yeah, it would depend on, like, how you're using it. Like, you...
Oh, would, so it like, depends place... on application?
That's what I would think would be the delineation is, like, a sauce you put on something or dip something in it, but a soup
but,
is...
So I was thinking about that, but there's a restaurant...
But then I guess you could dip things in soup.
Or, exactly. But... But like, so there's a restaurant here in Vancouver called Elements, and it's a fine dining restaurant, friends with the chef and owner. And he's very good about like just as like meals themselves, but his sauces are incorporating like he has a beet puree or an avocado, blah, blah, blah. And you could like, I could objectively take a step back and just be like, I'd have a cup of that. You know, I would eat a cup of that and you could serve it to me as that and just tell me it's a beet soup or something, and I wouldn't know the difference.
I mean, I guess like, what's the difference between like tomato soup and marinara? And I think it is it consistency,
right? But then there's like, so does that mean there's a specific hydration point that a sauce distinguishes itself from a soup? But
I've been thinking about this a lot for the last couple of days. I haven't really like
you've been like.
No, I haven't like
as you
gotten.
Toke.
Well, I haven't.
I see you just lying like on your back in bed, like pitch black, but your eyes are wide open. You're just like, what the fuck?
Well, I haven't really gotten anywhere with it because there's so many. Like, I do feel like it's a very simple question at its like offering, but it's like, yeah. I mean, it could go a couple of different ways.
Well. I mean, I think there's a lot of wiggle room and like blurred lines with cooking. Like is cake bread? And you know, like is a pound cake? Is that a bread? Is zucchini bread, or is that cake? You know, like I think there's a lot of cake is the only thing that I can think of right now that is like that, but I'm sure there are other examples.
Only thing I could think of too.
Help me out.
Well, so there's another person here. It's kind of for you, Brandon. It's their name is Dorothy Parker. I think it was kind of a play. It looks like a play on Dolly Parton for some reason. But it says it's more how you eat it than the consistency. A soup is eaten directly from a bowl as a food item itself, but a sauce is put onto other item or dip into those items.
I think that might be it.
Say like, that again?
A soup is its own dish, but sauce is a complement to something else.
Yeah. So it's more so how you eat it than the consistency. A soup is eaten directly from a bowl as a food item itself, but a sauce is put onto another item or to dip the item into. But think about French onion soup for a minute.
Yeah, no, that was one that I was thinking about.
Like, but also, like, is chili considered soup? Because you can smother chili on a lot of things.
You son of a bitch. Why would you bring up chili like that? Yeah. Chili's its own category.
I hope you all lose sleep tonight.
So what about this? So in a French kitchen, there's a saucier. Who is the chef that's in charge of the sauces? Is there a soupier?
I mean, I guess not.
So what's interesting also is that a sauce can oftentimes be the runoff of like a dish, the jus of a dish, right?
I guess, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how you get like French dips, right?
Right. So a sauce is only a step away from a full meal anyway.
I would like to actually plug, since we're talking about this, he won't do anything with it. But my favorite chef is Matty Matheson, and he just released a cookbook called Soup, Salad, and Sandwiches, and that's all it is. Like he just made a whole book.
Wait,
about
is that
soup, salad.
Is that the guy in Bear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big guy.
The big guy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's Canadian.
He's cool. I like him.
So, but, like, can you make, can you make soup from, like, a jus or,
well, I guess absolutely.
Is, well, because, is gravy considered you... sauce?
So, actually, that is, let's see. Hey, wait. Let me, I got to scroll up.
Brandon, you seconds. Keep asking the real tough questions.
Okay, so
you're bringing other subjects in. You're being reckless out here.
Kayet, this is from at slightly less boring.
that's a good handle.
It says KFC, at least in my country, serves unlimited gravy. So I just grab another bowl and fill it up with gravy to use as both sauce and drink it like a soup.
Country.
Oh yeah, clam chowder.
Can I get a pint of gravy, please, with a straw?
Yeah, if you're thinking about like
or a bisque,
a potato soup. As far as consistency goes, a potato soup or something that's sort of like cheesy potato-y or clam chowdery that's sort of on the thick side, and like a sausage gravy that would be on like a biscuits and gravy. Those consistencies are pretty much the same. So it wouldn't necessarily be a hydration point.
Yeah.
Because you also have some really thin sauces. Like sauces can be anywhere between like a gravy and then also like a jus or like a even like a I guess that would be gravy too. I don't know.
Well, one thing that I was thinking about is like when you have a bisque, for example, right? A bisque in its final stage is like so velvety and creamy. Like you could eat it as a soup or you could dip it. But in its initial form, it's a stew, right? You're like creating all those flavors and then you just like blend everything
together. Don't say the word stew.
I guess here's another thing.
To figure out. Oh my God.
Well, yeah. There's stew and then soups and then. But what about like you're also like with sauces, you're also starting to get into like dressings, like salad dressing, because they do sell like ranch dip and ranch dressing and like different like what's the difference there? Is it just consistency?
The world may never know.
Also, is salad dressing a sauce?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It is a sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a vinaigrette. I guess a vinaigrette would be like a sauce.
Yeah, I view any dressing as a sauce because it's that functionality of going on another food item.
Is a brine a sauce?
Brine is like curing.
Sure, but like
so is salt and pepper a sauce?
Can like would you really dun, dun, dun. I think a brine.
We need the sound.
I think a brine. The brine is a bridge too far.
And it's too late.
Like Law and Order. Passed.
Yeah, the Law and Order one. Brine.
Yeah.
Brine is too far. Okay.
Because, like, would you really put salt, water, and sugar on anything?
What about fluid from an IV?
Sauce?
Is what? Is what a sauce? Pasta water?
Yeah.
No. Pasta water is a mixing agent.
Yeah, okay.
It's a binder.
I'm just testing you. You're passing so far. Good job.
Wait.
What about frosting?
Ask again.
Yeah. Is frosting... Oh my gosh, that's a good one. Is frosting a sauce?
I think frosting is a topping.
Frosting or icing? What's the difference?
I don't know.
Smooth. I am going to think about this. I'm going to try and figure out the answer.
I didn't think this question was going to be as in depth as it was, but like I just kept thinking about it over the last couple of days. I was like, no, I feel like there needs to be discussion on this.
I mean, I'm sure like if you looked in like what are those like what's considered like the Bible of French cooking, like what is it, like the gastronomique or whatever, something like that. Like if you looked into like it could probably give you some sort of
I want to ask our Indian listeners, because I know we have a couple that have downloaded, like what about curry?
Curry. That's a really great example. I think curries are like sort of fall into
the stew
category. Although, if you think
they all don't have meat, like they're all not like super chunky.
I don't think a stew needs meat, does it?
I guess I'm viewing curry from being a stew from because you would add like chunks of chicken or pork or beef.
Well, we do certainly, and I like that. But there's like vegetarian stews. I think I don't know if they're soups. Or why? Stews.
I'm kidding.
Why? question in the back.
So is why? Is like a chowder a stew?
I don't know. I think like would that is a stew defined as being chunky? Like you have to have cubed like potatoes and things.
But then you can have like the different clam chowders. Like there's like the red, and then there's the salmon
chowder.
There's like the brothy. Is it Rhode Island style? That's like the brothy clam chowder. Mm-hmm.
But then there's all sorts of other, like there's Manhattan. Corn chowder. And
is Manhattan the one that's like the tomato based?
Correct. I think so, yeah. Manhattan is New England's the cream.
And then Rhode Island's the brothy one.
I guess.
Is butter a sauce?
And it's melted form.
Like, what about like ghee? Would that be?
I don't know. Well, ghee's just like it's just clarified butter. I did make, okay, speaking of all these things, I did make butter chicken for the first time from scratch. Did we talk about this already?
No. Tell me more.
I made butter chicken.
Also, just time out. I hate when we talk about food because it's fucking 11:30 for me at night and I'm really hungry. So shut up. I can't get that. I'm irritated and I wanted to share my feelings. Okay, please.
You know what? Anyway, you know what would sound really good? Just a bag of like dry corn tortilla chips right now.
don't tempt me.
don't tempt me, Frodo.
No, so I made butter chicken from scratch a couple weeks ago because I was working from home. Okay. I had the time in the world to do it. It turned out really good. The kids were not a fan. But as I was looking at it, I was like, And I thought back to that, and I was like, is that a stew? Is that a soup? Or is a curry its own identity? And I think it should probably be that.
Well, so what about mole?
Those are different
I think mole is a sauce.
Different cultures, but it's a similar stewed vegetable or meat that has seasonings that are
well,
you know, like,
but it's also
logically or
the you can do a sauce right. like a Sunday gravy, like you can
do a sauce
like you know that takes all day to build and prepare and stuff, right. And that's a sauce. So
get a nice mother sauce like, going.
But like you put the like a curry, you oftentimes would put that with rice. And it would be like you would eat both the protein and the vegetables that are in the stew, as well as using the sauce to sort of mix together with the rice. Oh my God, I'm so hungry right now.
DoorDash something. DoorDash something for $800. Be financially irresponsible.
Yeah. You know it's irresponsible, DoorDashing in the middle of the night.
Actually, I guess, yeah,
rewind that's another to that thing. Every meal. If you DoorDash something from 7-Eleven and it costs you $36, you're financially irresponsible.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I really want a hot dog and a Slurpee. Oh, yeah, $40. Okay.
in lifetimes past, we would have just been like, let's go for a walk.
Yeah. Kids these days. Well, anyway, I think that saga continues. You guys let me know what you've defined as soup and sauce.
Yeah, that was like 20 minutes. I'm sure that's really good audio content. You're welcome, people who downloaded this.
Better Homes and Gardens, if you want to sponsor us, let us know. America's Test Kitchen.
Slide into those DMs.
Alton Brown, we're here.
Next bon week, the difference between bread and cake.
wherever the Great British Bake Off is, let us know.
Come at us.
But feel free to send those questions and comments to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or ask Reddit, submit a question. Maybe we'll discover it somehow. Hit us up on our socials, found in the episode description.
Put this on the see if we find it.
You can still rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. We will see you back here next Wednesday for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense. Thanks for listening.
Happy soup making.